This morning's public reading is found in Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 21 through chapter 4, verse 2. Jeremiah chapter 3, let's begin with verse 20 down to verses 2 of chapter 4. Surely as a wife treacherously departed from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplication of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way and have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. For shame hath devoured the labors of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. Chapter 4. If thou will return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. If thou will put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. Amen. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. Well, let's bear in mind, beloved, that Israel, the 10 northern tribes we normally designate as Israel, had already gone into exile 100 years plus earlier from the days of Jeremiah. Okay? However, notice that in this portion, he's dealing with Judah and Benjamin, and yet he calls them Israel, even though the nation had divided itself, 10 northern tribes versus the 2 southern tribes. They were still genealogically and physically connected back to Jacob and the 12 sons of Jacob. So notice how he uses the word Israel while talking to Judah. Now, Judah is going to go into exile by the Babylonians. So this could be Israel speaking to those who had already gone into exile 100 years earlier, or he's using Israel as a brushstroke designation for even the 2 southern tribes. Notice verse 20. Surely as a wife treacherously departed from her husband. And we can also flip that around as well, if a husband treacherously departs from his wife. But nonetheless, in the illustration that is here, Israel is being portrayed as a wife, and God Almighty is portrayed as their husband, because they're in a covenantal relationship. Surely as a wife treacherously departed from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. And so notice once again, the concept of adultery is being brought to the table on the part of God to his ancient covenant people. God never accuses the Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Phoenicians, the Philistines, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and all the Ites. Never accuses any one of those particular nations that surrounded his people as ever committing spiritual adultery or whoredoms. Why? Those nations were not in a covenantal relationship with God. That beautiful relationship was codified at the foot of Sinai, Exodus chapters 19 and 20. Moses being the mediator, and that covenant was given in a dispensation of angels, sealed with the finger of God on 2 tablets of stone. Okay? God never had that relationship with any other nation under the sun. Not even today, except for the true Israel, a holy nation that Peter talks about in 1 Peter 2, composed of believing Jews and Gentiles from all nations. That is the only nation that he is currently in a covenantal relationship called the New Covenant, instituted by Christ the night of his betrayal. Verse 21, a voice was heard upon the high places, weeping, supplication of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way and have forgotten the Lord their God. Underline, for they have perverted their way, number one, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. So that is a summary of their indictment on the part of God to them. This nation will replicate that same hideous crime in John 19 when Pilate was about to release Jesus, the King of the Jews, to the Jews. They came back in one sounding voice with malice, envy, and hate. We have no king but Caesar. Give us Barabbas. Only found in John's Gospel, chapter 19. Check me out. Fact check me. They committed high treason, and therefore 40 years later, God destroyed the temple and the city for the murder of the king and for the crime of high treason on their part. But then notice grace and mercy can also be found in the Old Testament, irregardless of what others think or say. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Now, this is not leading to justification by faith alone. This does not guarantee, he's not necessarily talking about being saved from sin. He's talking about the restoration of the people back to the land and to enjoy the physical, natural prosperity that was promised if they were in compliance with their covenantal obligations. I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. For truly in vain is salvation or deliverance hoped for from the hills. We're not talking about salvation from sin. We're talking about deliverance from their enemies who are surrounding them and who want to come in and capture and place them into slavery, bondage, or exile. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. For shame hath devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. Now notice verse 25. Notice the time duration of the nation's unfaithfulness and their consistent unfaithfulness. Listen as I read. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. Okay, I think we kind of get the drift. For we have sinned against the Lord our God. Now get this. We and our fathers. So now they're talking about an ancestral look back. From our youth, even unto this day. I believe the reference to youth means the beginning of that nation at Sinai. From our beginning, even unto this day, when Jeremiah was ministering, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. Now, Jeremiah lived way past 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles. He's coming, he's actually ministering on the very tail end of the history that is recorded in 2nd Kings and 2nd Chronicles. So we're talking Exodus chapter 19 all the way through Samuel, Chronicles, Kings, and now Daniel, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah's time frame. Notice the spread of time. And there's not much commendation in verse 25 on their part, but a sad confession of national unfaithfulness in their covenantal relationship with him. And you got to go all the way back to verse 21. They have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord. Is the crowning indictment that is being described in verse 25. Now, notice grace and mercy once again. If thou will return, if you repent, O Israel, saith the Lord. Notice, return unto me. Don't return unto the stocks and the stones that you worshipped before. And if thou will put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou shalt not remove. Meaning you won't be taken out of the land. So this is a warning. If you take away the abominations, and when you read 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, 1 and 2 Chronicles, 1 and 2 Kings, you will find out that some of the kings of Judah and some of the kings of Israel in their respective temples, they put idols right in the house of God alongside the Ark of the Covenant and try to synthesize paganism with the worship of the one true God. That's why God says, take away the abominations from my sight, the things I see that you're doing. And then finally we have this, I believe to be a beautiful reference to our time. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth, in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. That sounds like a whole lot of stuff that comes with our true salvation, which is only found in Christ. And the nations, plural, shall bless themselves in him. Who's the him? It's not Jeremiah, it's not Daniel, not Ezekiel, not Isaiah, not me, not David, not Solomon, but Christ. And in Christ shall they glory. Now, notice those things. Truth, judgment, righteousness. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 30. You see a parallel or a connection? But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth from any nation, that's my addition, let him glory. In whom? The Lord. And how does verse 2 end? And the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. So once again, we see the church veiled in mystery, even in the Old Testament. May God choose to bless his word. Amen.